Well, how old were you when you were?
Well, I was about 13 years old at the breakup.
Can you remember slavery days very well?
Of course, I remember all our white folks and all the names of them, all the children. Call every one of the children's names.
Who did you belong to?
Jim Button, the baby boy.
Where was that? Where did he live?
That's out here in Haiti.
You are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world. Black
we
people.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
I'm not a nigger. I'm a man. But if you think I'm a nigger, it means you leave.
And bring about the freedom of these people by any means necessary.
This is the Black Our Story podcast.
Welcome to the Black Our Story podcast, a show dedicated to relearning black history because people are trapped in history and history is trapped in them. That's not me. That's James Baldwin. But I am your host, Marquise. Welcome to episode one, man. What better day to do it? What better day than June 19th? Juneteenth, as we like to call it down here in Texas, and that's slowly picking up steam. I see Target is even on board now, giving everybody the day off. They wasn't even tripping off that building that burned down. Everybody else was. Here we are, man, Juneteenth. I wanted to kick off the episode. So the clip that you heard in the very beginning, it was pretty powerful when I first heard it. The woman that was speaking, the interviewer, was a white man named John Falk. And John Falk was a reporter for the Freedom Writers Project. And he interviewed his neighbor in Hempstead, Texas. And her name was Auntie Harriet Smith. And this was 79 years ago. That clip you heard, that was 79 years ago. He recorded that in 1941. And Auntie Harriet Smith was a slave. Obviously, you could tell by what she was talking about. She had been a slave since she was a little girl, literally 30 minutes away from where I'm sitting right now. She says at the end of that clip, she said she was a slave, a little girl in Hays County. Hays County is a part of Austin, Texas, San Marcos area. And she was actually set free. She got her freedom on June 19th, 1865. And so I thought that was powerful when I heard it then, and everything just brought everything full circle on what we want to talk about today, which is Juneteenth, the history of it, Freedom Day, Emancipation Day, the Black 4th of July. But it was the day that black people and slaves in Texas in particular were officially granted their freedom after 245 years of bondage. And so, but first, you know, before we get into June 19th, we need to travel back in time a little bit further than that. We need to understand another holiday so that way we can understand Juneteenth a bit more. And that's the one that happens in July. So every year, America puts on its red, white, and blue to remember the bravery of the colonists who lived in only 13 states at the time. And they finally got the balls to tell King George number 3, hey, y'all need to square up. We telling the British people, I'm tired of this. We need to square up. Independence Day, right? We all remember it, that part in our history class. Independence Day came on July 4th, 1776. But again, the backstory on that is important. One, it's going to arm you with some historical ammo when people start complaining about riots. And why are they burning down everything? And why that's so counterproductive? And Martin Luther King would never get out of here. But it's also important to understand why I call Juneteenth the Black 4th of July. So the first city founded by English people, not like ever first founded, because the first city that was founded in America was actually in St. Augustine, Florida, by the Spanish. But the first city founded by English people was in 1585 in Virginia. All right, they floated over. They kicked the natives off the land. They planted an English flag, and then they declared it as America. Actually, they called it the New World, but eventually it became to be called America. It's a weird fun fact. They never tell you about it, but America actually got its name from this Italian map guy named Amerigo Vespucci. But just a random fun fact for you to how we got our name. Anywho, at the time, there was zero American politicians. So everybody sitting in government seats and making decisions for America were English folks in England. So they had over here, they had all these lords, they had these governors, wearing all those wigs and all that powdered makeup and forcing the decisions in the states. Well, one particular thing happened, and British said, you know what, we need more money. We need more money out of America, so let's tax them more. Boom, everybody voted yay on all the taxes. And the American colonists were like, hell, absolutely no. Right? Everybody remembers that quote, no taxation without representation. Well, this led to what? Ding, ding, ding. Protest. Well, these protests just so happened to turn into riots, burning, and looting. OMG. I'm telling you, this is why history is important. This is why history is important. Because anything you got to do to make a point for progress, right? Sounds familiar. So let me just tell you a couple of the things they did. One time, while they're complaining about, you know, the people in the streets burning down a Target, oh, what did they do? They burned down an entire ship called the Gaspee. The next year, they dressed up as Indians. They ran up on a British ship sitting in a Boston harbor, minding its own business. They destroyed everything and they poured tea everywhere. Boston Tea Party, we were told about that. Another protest led to the Boston Massacre. Now, you might remember that name, the Boston Massacre. That was one that we were taught. But I want you to listen to the story again and how crazy it connects to today. And then how it might give you a little more ammo on when you start debating anybody that you're talking to about these times. But the Boston Massacre, right? Imagine this. You're a protester in an angry mob back in the day. They want justice. You've been protesting your government and police abuses all day, and just then you stumble on some officers. Some shouting happens, bang, five people were shot dead and killed. So now you really demand justice, and the officers are charged and arrested, but oh no, what is this? What do you mean not guilty? That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And that was the Boston Massacre. The eight British soldiers that were involved in firing in the crowd of protesters that killed five people, including Crispus Attucks, a black man. Eight British soldiers. Six got a not guilty verdict. Not guilty. And the other two got reduced sentences down to manslaughter. If that ain't today, then I don't know what is. So they should easily understand, if they can understand the Boston Massacre, and understand how people protesting and rioted and looted because of certain things like that, then they should easily be able to understand what's going on today. However, this is also why history matters. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? The country, America, was literally born from protest and riots. So eventually, after all that, the colonists got fed up. They declared their own government, and then they declared their own independence. That's that one that starts off with, all men are created equal. Except in that not so fine print that reads, not you black slaves over there. And then they kicked ass in the American Revolution with the help of France. And on July 4, 1776, America became its own country. Hooray! That's a big deal. It should be something that we should acknowledge and we should recognize and we should look at. That's huge for a certain demographic of this country, regardless of what was going on at the time. And what a glorious day it was for them. Fireworks was lighting up the sky. The drummers and the flutes was getting busy in the streets. Folks was dancing off rhythm. It was just white frolicking everywhere. Because for the first time in 191 years of British rule, America was free. Quote unquote. So, what does all that have to do with Juneteenth? What does it have to do with anything? Why am I being long-winded about all this? Well, the protests and riots make sense for the 4th of July. And how it led to America's freedom in 1776. Then everything else that came after it, Juneteenth, the Martin Luther King assassination riots, the civil rights protests, the Rodney King, L.A. and Watts riots in 92, George Floyd riots, it should automatically sell itself and make sense. And it's also why I keep calling it Juneteenth, the Black 4th of July. Because as those fireworks were lighting up the night sky on the 4th, there were 37,000 slaves watching from the fields and from their shacks and knowing that not one spark in the air was for their freedom, but for somebody else's. They were quote unquote happy for their masters, and they still have not have freedom anywhere. They were nowhere close to getting freedom on their own. In 1852, Frederick Douglass asked, "What to the slave is the 4th of July?" That was in 1852. That was 76 4th of July celebrations later, and just 13 years before slavery came to its end. Slavery ended in 1865. I'm going to say that a lot during this podcast and subsequent episodes later, but if you don't remember nothing else, remember 1865. That is the year that slavery ended in America, 1865. And so by this time in history, remember, by this time, by the time that Frederick Douglass came around, we had went from 37,000 slaves at the time of freedom in 1776 to now almost 4 million slaves in the country watching America celebrate its own freedom every single year. 4 million slaves watching fireworks every year. Well, in comes Abraham Top Hat Lincoln. In November of 1860, he actually gets elected. This is 5 years before slavery ends, right? And as soon as he gets elected, 7 states in the South got the hell up out of here. They were like, nope, not having it. Because Lincoln, for everything he was during that time, Lincoln was actually opposed to slavery. However, he did believe that blacks were inferior to whites. And he thought that they couldn't live equally together. He actually was in favor of sending them to Liberia, Africa, which was already going on for 30 years. But we'll get into that on another episode. So they got up out of there. They saw the writing on the wall and they said, this man's going to end slavery. Right. So the 7 states left. They created what was known as the Confederate States of America. 4 more states joined them later on, so it totaled to about 11 states. And that lasted from 1861 to 1860 to 1865. So we'll say 5 years, right? 5 years, give or take. I just need you to understand, with all these Confederate flags, and we'll talk about that later on, and all this, like, this isn't pride, this is heritage, and whoop-de-woo, and whatever the case may be, this thing, we're talking about 5 years here. MTV's Catfish lasted longer than the Confederate South. Golden Girls lasted longer than the Confederate South. Okay? So, 5 years. But I also need you to understand real quick why the South was willing to die over slavery. Not state rights. That I know in history class, that's what they told us. They called it states' rights because the federal government was imposing on the states' rights or their state decisions to have slavery. No, hell no. Why these men were willing to die over slavery, you need to understand the economic benefit that slavery had to the South. If every single slave state put together was its own country, they would have been the 4th wealthiest nation in the world, Craig. In the world. 4 million slaves were valued at $3.5 billion. With a B, $1 billion. The South produced 75% of the world's cotton at its peak, and slavery was literally the largest financial asset in the entire U.S. economy by 1860. It created more millionaires per capita than anywhere else in the world. Now, let me dispel this rumor real quick. Not every white person owned slaves. Actually, a large majority of them did not own slaves. They couldn't afford it. As slavery brought so much wealth, individual slaves the price of them started to increase tremendously. But what it did do was it allowed slave owners to put poor white men as overseers and now and as enforcers of white superiority, of white supremacist ideologies. And so now you still carry and you have an entire system surrounded by whiteness versus blackness. Created more millionaires per capita, slavery. I need you guys to understand that. So of course, they were willing to fight and die over their livelihood. They had been living comfortable. You living comfortable. So now, again, Lincoln was strongly against slavery. And he's having a hell of a first rookie season as a president. His country's split in half, and he's in the middle of a war. I mean, I'm talking as soon as you get elected, a couple months later, boom, you're in a war with half of the country. Imagine that, right? He had to figure some shit out. He had to figure it out, and eventually he did. So thanks to being heavily pressured by the anti-slavery Republicans, not these new guys, but back in the day, the Republican Party was the anti-slavery party. And also because of something very interesting that he noticed that was going on. He noticed that thousands of escaped slaves were joining the Northern troops to fight against the South. And the Northern troops needed soldiers bad as hell. So he was like, huh, the more slaves that escape and that I can promise freedom to, which means more soldiers, which means it possibly gives me a victory over the South. And boom, in 1862, Lincoln signed something called the Militia Act, which let blacks fight with weapons for the first time ever in history. Over 200,000 black men fought for their freedom and solidified the cause for the first time to ending slavery in America. 200,000 black men. So 5 months later, he signed what we all know. That's the Emancipation Proclamation that was signed on September 1862. But it had an effective date of January 1st, 1863. Again, this is 2 years before the Civil War ends. Remember, I told you the Civil War only went from 1861 to 1865. 2 years in, 1863, he signs on paper that everybody is free, that all the slaves are free. Well, here's the good news. 3.5 of the 4 million black people were no longer considered slaves. And New Year's Day has got a whole new meaning now, since you know that that was the day that slaves were granted their freedom 157 years ago. Here's the bad part. During this time, there were 33 U.S. states. 15 of those states had slaves. The proclamation only freed slaves in the states that had separated from the U.S. So it didn't even include freeing the slaves. The history books kind of glossed over this. I don't even think they mentioned that back in the day. This proclamation didn't include the slaves that were working in the North still. They were still slaving away. So Kentucky, Maryland, Delaware, and Missouri still got to keep their slaves. It was only the 11 Confederate states that actually succeeded from America. So South Carolina, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Texas, Virginia, Tennessee, Arkansas, and North Carolina. And they were only free on paper. This was only year two of the war. So for a slave to actually be awarded freedom, they had to wait for the fight to come to them and then be freed by the Northern troops. They had to hope the troops won, the North won, and then they were freed. Yeah. So eventually war comes to a close in April of 1865. The Confederate South burned out for a multitude of reasons. And listen to this number, between 620 and 850,000 people died over the same question we are still asking today. If black lives mattered. This includes Lincoln himself. 5 days, five days after the war was over, he was shot in the back of the head while watching a play by a Confederate sympathizer. You probably remember his name, John Wilkes Booth. 5 days after the war was over. So Lincoln didn't even see everything he had put into motion. He didn't even see it. So slaves are now officially free everywhere. Everywhere except Texas. And this is why Juneteenth has become a thing. It's been a thing here in Texas for a while, and it's good to see now that it's branching out everywhere. So before Texas was a state, there were no slaves. Mexico wasn't playing that shit. They didn't have it. It wasn't allowed. After it became a state in 1838, business was booming. Literally, in the Constitution, Texas enforced slavery for life. In 27 years' time, from 1838 till slavery ended and the war ended in 1865, Texas went from having 5,000 slaves to well over 250,000 slaves. Now, yes, I know I just told you Texas was on that list of states included in the Emancipation Proclamation. It was. So all the slaves in that state should have been free in 1863. But remember, no Northern troops to save the day, no freedom. And since Texas wasn't really involved in the Civil War like that, it had its own beef going on with France, and they were fighting down in Mexico, Cinco de Mayo stuff, but we'll talk about that in a few episodes later. Lincoln's proclamation had no effect on anything going on in Texas. So those 250,000 plus slaves, they were forced to keep on working. Even after the war ended in April 1865, when everyone was now officially free, they still worked. In May 1865, they still worked. And finally, 71 days later, somebody pulled up with a message. And here's the Juneteenth part of it all. On June 18th, I know, yes, the day before, on June 18th, 1865, Northern Union General Gordon Granger and about 2,000 homies, 2,000 soldiers marched on down to Galveston, which is near Houston, on behalf of the now President Andrew Johnson, because remember, Lincoln was killed. He never got to see all of this. And the following day, on June 19th, Granger stood on top of the on this balcony of the Ashton Villa, and he shouted out like Prince Hakeem after he got his date with Lisa. And with all the slaves gathered around to see what this strange bearded white man had to say, Granger announced that the Civil War had ended 3 months earlier, and he read off, or 2.5 months earlier, and he read off General Orders Number 3. The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor, meaning run me my chips, pay me my money if I'm going to work for you. I will no longer be working for free. Tears, hugs, disbelief, happiness. The slaves reportedly danced all night in the streets. They got together at Reedy Chapel AME. And you know who else was there? Miss Auntie Harriet Smith, the same woman you heard in the beginning of this podcast. She was freed that day. So blacks got together with their newfound freedom. They stayed in Texas. They moved around Texas, but they began pooling their money together. They started to relocate. They started to buy land in their cities like Austin, Mexia, and Houston. They started naming their areas Emancipation Park, Booker T. Washington Park. And the following year, in 1866, the very first official Juneteenth celebrations took place in Texas and sprinkled over a little bit into the South. Eventually, those celebrations would move out west to California, and then they moved up north to New York and Chicago after more than 5 million blacks started leaving the Jim Crow segregated South, and they started moving up north to the industrial North. So that was called the Great Migration. They was trying to get the hell out of this racist ass place, and they saw the job potentials that existed up north. They saw the better life chances that you had up north. And so the Great Migration is how so many black people eventually started moving up north. But they also took a lot of those traditions, they took a lot of those customs, and they took the Juneteenth celebrations up north with them. By 1980, Texas became the very first state to officially recognize Juneteenth as a state holiday. By 2008, half of the U.S. observed the holiday. And on June 19, 2013, the U.S. government officially recognized Juneteenth as a national holiday. Even Apple added it to your iPhone calendar for the first time in February of 2018, part of their little Black History Month, We Support Y'all movement. Now, Hawaii, Montana, New Hampshire, North and South Dakota are the only states, unless they've got on the bandwagon now, the only states that still don't really recognize the day. But honestly, I don't even know that many black people that live in those states anyways to make those kind of demands from a non-military perspective. And so now you know, and from here on out, now you will forever know why Juneteenth is referred to henceforth here forever too as the Black 4th of July, and why I hope to be invited to more barbecues on June 19th. June 19th is black history, but it's also American history. Don't let anyone shame you into thinking it shouldn't be considered an American holiday, because it is. Don't let anyone shame you into celebrating any holiday you don't agree with, for that matter. And that's why research and history is so important. You know, for me personally, I recognize the historic moment of the 4th of July, but historically, I know it's not really for me to celebrate. That's not any different than Hanukkah. I'm not Jewish. Or Kwanzaa, wasn't raised on African traditions, and definitely not rocking with Columbus Day. And that's okay, as long as you know the history behind all these things, and that's okay. Don't let anyone shame you into their idea of America. This place is unique because it has so many different stories and so many different struggles for freedom, which is something that we should all come to appreciate and acknowledge. Because it doesn't encourage separation. It encourages historical diversity, and that's what makes this country better in the end. But it starts with knowing our own history, not half-truths, not teaching patriotism, but teaching the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of who we are as a country. That's the only way we get better. We can't move on, and we can't progress like we should until we acknowledge our history in all of its parts. Otherwise, we're just going to do exactly what we're doing right now today, which is repeating it. Thank y'all for listening. This has been episode 1 of the Black Hour Story podcast. Again, I'm your host, Marquise. Until next time, happy Juneteenth, folks.